Midnight Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine. Welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
It's Thursday night, and welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio, because you're hearing me talking. It's only one thing can be true, and that is that Rick Hale is off tonight. Sitting in with me is Teresa West. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Karen. How's it going?
Good. So we're going to be talking to Jack Kenna in a little while. He's a paranormal investigator and a technical specialist for, I have the name of the group.
Spirits of New England.
Thank you. I had the name covered with, anyway.
With the Dybbuk box?
The secret is out. That's right, with the Dybbuk box.
I spilled, sorry.
That's right. No, before the show, I sent Teresa a photograph. What did I send you, Teresa?
You sent me a picture of me on your laptop sitting in front of the Dybbuk box.
That's right. And so some of my friends think I'm crazy, but I want you to know it's a replica. It's not the real Dybbuk box. Our good friend Jason Haxton, who's been a great friend of the show, has loaned me the replica of the box, which I've got to tell you, I opened the box, I looked at it, and I was like, oh, crap, he sent me the real thing. But it's not. And, I have the Dybbuk box replica, and it's really cool. It looks a lot like the real thing, let me tell you.
I'm changing that to my profile picture.
Teresa on my laptop with the Dybbuk box.
That's right, me. Folks. As long as I'm in Tennessee and you're in Washington and that's where the box is, I'm good.
Okay, but see, clearly I'm not doing any mocking. Because I'm not going to even mock the fake box.
We hold all respect for the box.
That's right, because it is an authorized representative of the Dybbuk box. So there will not be any mocking, but I, Cheryl keeps telling me that she's worried for me. And
I'm so worried, Karen. I really am.
Are you really, or are you just teasing me?
I'm just teasing you.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm a little tiny bit worried. Just a little tiny bit worried.
Well, everybody was like, well, what if he sent you the real one? How would you know? And I'll tell you how I would know. I have pictures of the Dybbuk box that Jason has kindly supplied me. And once I got over my, oh my God, he sent me the real thing, I took it and I took the pictures of the real Dybbuk box and side by side. And it's a really good replica, but it's you could tell it's a replica. I mean, I can.
Isn't the finish on the real box a little bit darker than that?
And they've done a really beautiful job with it. It's got all of the same objects that the Dybbuk box had in it. Right down to the locks of hair and the kind of weird looking octopus candle stick, and it's got the carving on the back. And I mean, so they've done just a really nice job with it. But where I can tell is a little bit on the hardware. And also where they've distressed it, because they've even distressed it in the same places as the Dybbuk box is. But I can tell where they've distressed it, that even though they've distressed and aged the distress thing, it's just doesn't quite have the real, you know what I mean? It doesn't have quite the right patina, I guess is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, that's it.
There you go. All of my Antiques Roadshow knowledge just came out right there.
I love that show.
Oh, I do too. I like that, and I like the other one, Pawn Stars. I think is pretty fun too, and it's like a hipper, more fun Antiques Roadshow.
Have you seen Cajun Pawn Stars?
No.
Yeah, Pawn Stars in Louisiana, dude. I'm telling you.
Okay, well, I'll have to watch out for that. I don't watch a whole lot of TV. Although, speaking of TV, we were talking also off the air last night. They did a case that's really fascinated me for a long time on Paranormal Witness. And apparently Cheryl knows a lot about this, so she can join in here.
It was the Travis Walton story.
And the Travis Walton UFO abduction, which happened in the 1970s. And I've always found it really fascinating because they've always stuck to their story. Nobody's ever said no. You know, nobody's ever come out and said this is a hoax. And what really struck me last night, or this morning, I watched it this morning when I was watching it, is that as they're telling the story, the guys are recreating it, it seemed like there was still a lot of emotion.
Some of them were breaking down.
Yeah.
This is today. Yeah. I mean, well, recently when they filmed it, breaking down, crying, very emotional. It's
almost 30 years later.
Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah. The guy that was the youngest that said he told him that he was 18 so that he could go on the job.
Yeah.
Was one of the ones that broke down the most. And that was, as a teenager, you couldn't imagine going through something like that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, they really, unless these guys are great actors, they really seemed genuinely traumatized. And it's just always been, to me, that I kind of roll my eyes at a lot of alien abduction stories, I'm not going to lie. But there are a few that make me wonder, and this is one of them. Betty and Barney Hill is one of them. So, yeah, if you haven't seen it, catch it on demand. It's Paranormal Witness on Sci-Fi. And I really enjoyed watching it. And, yeah, Chad asks in the chat room if Stan Romanek is one of the ones that makes me roll my eyes. No comment.
Now, Karen.
Well, no comments. I mean, Stan has been very kind to a friend of the show and a friend of the magazine. He's been on our show. He's been interviewed for the magazine. And so yeah, I'm not going to pass judgment on that. That Stan says that's what happened to him.
Well, the one thing that gets me about that case is that his story has changed since he was on our show.
Oh, Stan has?
Yeah, just a wee bit. He's become a little bit more refined, you know, and I guess he's been on television, he's written books, and I guess maybe he's just had a little bit more of a paranormal education. I don't know, he just seems a little bit too much polished now.
Well, that could be a result of him telling it over and over again, of course.
Right. It kind of sounded coached.
Yeah, well, you
just
know...
Just a bit.
You find that, I find, because, you know, I work in the court system, and you find that as people tell their story more, that sometimes it does start to sound like that. Both truthful people and untruthful people could start to sound a little coached.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that memory changes, and, it's, you know, you never tell the same story quite the same way twice unless you tell that story every single day, because you forget little details or you remember little details or, you know, so I don't know.
I am compelled by Stan Romanek's
I know you
story.
Are.
Karen knows that.
I know. I'm trying to be very diplomatic about Stan.
Oh, there's, story. Yeah, I mean, there's so many strange twists and turns in the story, but it just, I mean, when I interviewed him initially for the magazine, I talked to him, I don't know, at least an hour, maybe an hour and a half.
I remember because I transcribed that.
Yeah. it was just held my attention and was compelling. And I just, till today, I still think there's something big going on there. But, you know, that's just my opinion. I know there's so many different interpretations out there. So
I don't think Stan is lying.
I don't either.
I think Stan believes his story.
I'm sorry, say again?
So. Yeah.
You think what?
I don't think Stan's a liar. I think he believes his story.
Yeah.
With that said, the thing about the Travis Walton one, though, is the number of witnesses that all tell the same story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless these guys just, you know, sat around a bottle of Jack one night and they could have and cooked it up.
Right.
You know, it's rather compelling.
Yeah, and you know, but polygraphs, while not accurate in many cases, but all of them passed.
Did the other guy finally pass?
He finally did years later. He finally took it, according to the polygrapher. I don't know if it was in the early 90s, but he finally took it and finally passed.
Well, yeah. People can pass polygraphs, so...
Sure. Oh, no, definitely. You know, but all
and,
six
and
of
I
them?
And I work with a lot of psychopaths and sociopaths. Not mm-hmm. That's not what I'm saying these guys are, but I work with a lot of those people, and they can look you in the eye and tell a very sincere story, and you know what? I bet they can pass polygraphs,
Oh, I'm sure, and they may even believe that story, so...
Oh, usually the sociopaths I know don't actually believe the crap that they're peddling.
Oh, okay.
They just want you to believe
it. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. I will tell you guys, I've listened to people make up stories with a bottle of Jack, and it never stays the same once they sober up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. It changes every time they drink.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Good point. Okay, you're right.
Sorry, you know, we're Gentleman Jack people here at my house, too, so stories get bigger with every bottle that gets bought.
I have a little bit left of a bottle of Gentleman Jack in my liquor cabinet.
Make a peach cobbler and soak your peaches in Gentleman Jack before you cook them.
Ooh, I did it. I put it in chili the other night. It was really good.
Yeah. Sorry. Now we're on to the cooking segment of the show.
Oh, that's right. We promised we weren't going to talk about the cooking because Teresa said that we wouldn't have time for our guest. So speaking of, let's do this. It's 6:15 and other times in those other parts of the country. But here where I live on the West Coast, it's 6:15. We're going to go to a break. And when we come back, we will have our guest on the line. So stick around. And we will be talking with Jack Kenna when we come back. This is Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at Paranormal UG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Night Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com.
First there came radio, and it was good. Then it got bad. Then there came satellite radio, and it was okay. Then it got too expensive and kind of sucked. Now there is something new, something better, something free. Stitcher Radio for the iPhone and BlackBerry. With Stitcher, you can hear all the shows and podcasts you can imagine, rate them, and build your own station. No downloading, no syncing, no problem. Just pick a station to get started, like American news and politics. Now, look at the shows you have to pick from, pick one, and start listening. Like it, make a favorite, and start your own station. Don't like it? Thumb it down and say bye-bye to shows like it. Or thumb it up to find more like it. Plus, you can search and find your favorite podcasts. We have over 1,000 shows to pick from. Stitcher Radio, the natural evolution in audio listening. And it's free.
Hi, everyone. It's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
Station identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network. Operating frequency on ZTalkRadio.com.
The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio on ZTalk Radio. I am Karen Frazier. Sitting in with me tonight is Teresa West. Hey, Teresa.
Hi, Karen.
We are waiting for our guest to call in because I don't know. You know, we can't. What's a night without technical difficulties? And I had just said things were going remarkably well when Teresa mocked the fake box.
And what? There's a Jack Kenneth.
Oh, there he is. All right. Hi,
Jack. Phones are on and everything else. Even I had all the phones on. So.
Now, there, for some reason, Skype wouldn't let Cheryl enter all of your numbers, so your number was going in with one too few numbers. So
that's weird.
I know. It's just one of those things. So, for our listeners, Jack Kenna is a technical specialist. He's also assistant case manager for the paranormal team Spirits of New England. That's located in Winthrop, Massachusetts.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
Jack, I'm back to second grade, Massachusetts. And Jack's
people in Washington cannot talk, okay?
No, Jack's had a strong interest in paranormal since he was a kid. And you've been on numerous investigations in the last 2 years, including an investigation for the U.S. Navy in 2010. And you have been a technician and project leader for the Department of the Army for the last 26 years. So you're a guy who knows your stuff. Jack, welcome
to the
Underground.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good to be back. It's been a long time since the show, but
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Teresa.
I said the Jack knows Jack.
That's right. Well, we hadn't.
You don't remember that.
We hadn't had the chance to test our levels or anything, so I think you sound okay. Cheryl, is he okay? Level wise, sound level wise.
It's not coming through very well, unfortunately. I'm just wondering, Jack, you gave me your home phone number in the chat room. Do you want us to try and call you back there, or do you want to call back from your home number?
Well, I'm on the Bluetooth. Let me shut that off and see if on the speaker will help you out here.
Oh, okay.
We can try it.
Behind the scenes, people who are listening. See, this is what we normally do during when the music is playing. This is why we play the music. Did we lose Jack? You still there, Jack?
I'm still here. I switched over to the speaker. Is that better?
Much better. Yay. Yeah, thanks, Jack.
All right. Let me get rid of that stupid Bluetooth thing.
All righty. So, Jack, you did an investigation with for the U.S. Navy. What was that?
Okay, we can actually kind of tell you now, finally. It took a while, but it was the USS Constitution.
Okay.
Down in Charlestown, Massachusetts. Remember the old ship called Old Ironsides?
Right. Yes, and so, is it haunted?
Yes, it is. Very much so. More than we ever expected. But it's what the sailors were telling us. And thanks to our team leader, our founder, Ellen McNeil, she's the one who got us on the ship there. She had contacted them, and it was just good timing, I guess, because they were like, yeah, we need you to come on. We have stuff going on. People are afraid to go on the ship at night, and there's guys who have to go on the ship at night to check things. And people didn't want to be on that ship because of the things they were experiencing. So we came in, we found a lot of stuff, more than we expected to. Had some really neat experiences. Saw some shadows moving, caught them on film. Had doors closed for us when we asked to. Door opened for the bosun's mate when he commanded it to. Of course, it wasn't the door he expected, but it was a closed and shut door. That when he said, open that door, the other door opened. And it scared the heck out of him. He turned white and he left the ship. He literally scared him to death. And he actually would never walk through that door again.
Yeah.
But we gave a presentation to them and everything, the captain, and it turned out we found out, they don't tell us everything, you know, of course, being the Navy. But we did find out from our friend, the bosun's mate on the ship, that the captain did issue what they call a docket to all new crew members coming in and the existing crew members telling them the ship is haunted. And wow. If they had any questions or anything to call, they gave them Ellen's phone number and to call her if they had any questions or concerns.
Well, so that's very forward thinking of the Navy to actually do that. Now, is the Constitution is a museum, not an operational ship. Is that right?
No, that's incorrect. It actually is the oldest commissioned ship in the U.S. Navy.
Oh, so it is still commissioned.
Nice.
Yes, it's a commissioned ship that's never been decommissioned, which I thought it had been, but it has never been decommissioned in its lifetime.
So it still goes. It still goes out to sea and protects the country.
Occasionally, yeah. Occasionally they do take it out. Mostly now they take it out into Boston Harbor. They'll do every year. They'll go out and turn the ship around because where it's docked, if they leave it in the dock where it is, the waves and stuff coming in will wear out one side faster than the other. So every year they go out, they turn it around, and they bring it back. So the opposite side is always facing the water. Once a year. But it's a full-up crew. I believe the crew is like 72 sailors, with their captain, first mate, and all that. And it's an actual naval crew.
Nice. Very cool. We have one here in Washington State, the USS Turner Joy, that's actually been decommissioned and is a museum now that is haunted that people will go and do a little investigating on. What is it about those Navy ships, you think, that they get such activity? Because it's certainly not the first one that I've heard of that happening.
Yeah, my own opinion on that, based on what we caught were on the Constitution and stuff, was the fact that these people, especially back in the 1800s, these men and boys, because actually back then they had boys between the ages of 6 to 16 that worked on these ships, that was their home. That's where they lived. They spent their life pretty much there. Right. They became attached to it. We actually did catch an EVP, voice of a young boy, on that ship. And it was an interactive one. He's still there, helping to give tours, it seems, and everything else based on what the EVP we captured. And because what the EVP was, he caught this voice of a young boy. The second night there, one of the guys, there's always had to be somebody with us, one of the guys was giving us kind of another tour of the ship, telling us some things, and he brought us down to the main deck on the ship in the front. And told us this is where they had what they called the manger, which was where they kept all the animals. Back in the 1800s, they kept live animals, of course, butcher for food and stuff. But he was telling us, yeah, they kept cows, pigs, chickens. Then you hear this other voice come up, and it says, and a bear. And we had no idea what that really meant when we actually first heard that EVP. We weren't even sure that's what it said until we played it for the captain and the crew at our reveal. And they immediately said, I forget the name of the name of the black bear, but they said, it's Captain So-and-so. And we're like, what are you guys talking about? It was a pet black bear they had on the ship as a mascot in the 1800s.
Seriously?
Yes, seriously. And they heard it right away, and we're like, well, we weren't sure that's what it said, but that's why we had to ask them. And they knew it right away. And I think that's what impressed the captain the most. He really took a big interest in what we were presenting to him after that. So
yeah, that's pretty darn cool.
Yeah, it was. It was a really neat investigation and a rewarding one because you got to help out, our sailors and our service people who do so much for us every day. So it was nice to be able to tell them, what is there and that it's nothing to worry about, it's nothing to be afraid of. And actually, I always told them, I said, ask them if they can help out some more because they seem to want to. So
they can they can have one of them serve as a doorman or something.
Yeah. So that young boy seemed to like opening doors a lot, so we maybe could get him to do that.
That sounds perfect to me. So Jack, you are a technical specialist, and you have sounds like you have made your career in technical things.
Yeah, that's true. That's not how I started that, but that's where it went. Yeah.
So do you find crossover between your work and your paranormal work?
Oh, yes, 100%. actually, very much so. I mean, with the scientific end of it, doing it, the way we do it, writing reports on these things for whoever our clients are, and just, the collecting data, reviewing it, and trying to determine what is and isn't paranormal. I mean, I kind of do the same things, but with different, things, weapon systems. You have to test it. You have to find out what the problems are. You have to figure out what's really going on. It's very similar, very similar.
So have you invented a weapon to use against ghosts yet then?
No, I haven't figured that one out yet, no.
No, wait a minute.
The ghosts are pretty nice. I don't want to have to, I don't want to use a weapon on some of the ghosts.
Yeah, do we really want a weapon to get rid of them?
No, I don't think so.
I want somebody using it on me when I cross over, you know what I'm saying?
That's right. Treat people, even ghosts, the way you want to be treated. It's something I taught my kids when they were very young, and I think that that anybody who does paranormal research can learn a lot from that too. Let's talk about
I always say ghosts are people too, right? So
ghosts are people too. I agree. So, and I tell people who are scared, I tell them, you know what? Ghosts are just people without bodies. People look at me like I'm nuts when I say that. But, to me, that makes them less scary. They're people without bodies. So what's scary?
That's right. Yep. So, well, it takes some time for a client to get used to that. We work with our clients. Even after the investigations are done, we go back and go over with them what we found and stuff. And then we still keep in touch with them after that when they call us. We have questions from time to time. So, we keep in touch with them. Suddenly kind of end up becoming pretty good friends. So, it's another way to, in this field, that it's more than just investigating. A lot of times you're meeting new people, making some new friends, and that's a nice part of it as well.
Yep, I agree. So tell me, the types, if you're the technical guy on your team, tell me the types of equipment that you like to work with.
Pretty much everything from laptops to, pretty much like all the tech, the millimeters, the EMF detectors, the video equipment, the cameras, you name it, I love messing with it. Because in actuality, a lot of stuff I did even before this. I used to run part-time businesses as a videographer. So I was working with video cameras and stuff like that even before I really got into this deeply. Computer stuff, even on the side, I used to run the part-time computer business. So I bring a lot, I guess, to my team. So. And it's fun. I enjoy it. I enjoy going through the EVPs, listening to them, using the software for that, and the video stuff too. Even the software that you have to use to review your video. There's some good stuff and there's some bad stuff, and you got to know which is which. And you don't want to spend a lot of money. We all work for a living, but there's some good stuff out there at reasonable prices too. So,
see, I'm not allowed to touch the tech on my team.
You're like technically challenged, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm one of those. We have people on our team who do that, and they're very good at it, and none of them are me. So
that's true on every team. I mean, that's true of our team, Spirit of New England and stuff. They lean on me a lot, and our other person, Sharon, Sharon Kugler, she's our tech manager. We're the two that get leaned on a lot for all this stuff. We don't mind it. We enjoy it, so. Everybody else is good at everything. I mean, Ellen's extremely good with the clients and, the personal stuff. And even finding, investigations like the USS Constitution. She's excellent at doing that. Not everybody has all the same skills, so.
Right.
You have to have a good diversified team.
That's right, and I'm the team's diversity because I'm definitely not the tech person, although I am really good at hearing audio. I'm really good at the EVPs.
I'm terrible at it, to be honest with you. I can find them. I can't tell you what the heck they're saying usually.
I'm horrible with EVPs.
Where I can usually never pick out what it's saying. I'll say, hey, I think it's saying this. Everybody goes, where are you getting that from? It's not even close.
See, that's me with all the faces. There's a face. Where?
Where?
I never see the darn face, unless it's like on a person.
Yeah.
I don't see the faces in the picture, so
I don't usually either. I'm like, what are you talking about? Where, you know? I get spot some sometimes. A lot of stuff, I think, that people see. Clients bring a lot of that stuff to us, faces and pictures or what they believe are or stuff like that. And I look at it and go, you have to tell them. It's, that's pretty much matrixing. You're really looking too hard for something, you know. Sometimes something's very obvious, though. You know, you do get occasionally a photo that's just very obvious. Then you got to start to wonder, okay, did somebody fake that? So then you look at the bottom of it, you know.
Well, right. And that's where the pareidolia plays in. The brain tries to make patterns.
Absolutely.
Oh, there's a face there. What face? It looks like a leaf to me. Even with the, when I'm in the shower, I hear the phone ring. The phone's not ringing.
I hear noise. You can matrix sounds, too. I mean, you can hear things that are just crosses between different noises, water, this, that, or the other thing, and a radio. And mixes of noises can cause you to hear things you wouldn't normally hear. And they're not what you think
they are. It's true. We sleep with a white noise machine in our room, and I hear things in it, not like I'm a crazy person hear things. But when I pay attention to it, I'll hear things in it, and it's different if I have my covers over my head or if I have my covers down. And you can hear, seriously, you can hear what sounds like people talking. And one of the places I investigate has a lot of running water, and you can swear that people are murmuring.
I just had that a lot with an old mill. The rest of the team did. I wasn't able to go, but I'm reviewing the audio for them. And they had a lot of water in this one area, dripping, dripping, dripping. And every time you listen, it's like, is that people talking in the background? What is that? And you just got to throw it out because you don't know. You know, you just don't know. You can't tell for sure.
Absolutely.
That's one thing I've learned over the years. Look for the more obvious things. Things that, especially when you're dealing with a client, bring them something. If you're going to bring them something that's pretty obvious. It's a voice, you know. It's one thing for us to sit there, when we do investigations for ourselves sometimes or something like that and have some fun and say, let me see if I can tweak that and see if I can hear if it's really a voice or what. But when you're dealing with a client, you got to have good solid evidence and solid proof for it. But like I said, matrixing is a tough thing, both visual and audio.
Well, and the other thing with a client is that it depends on the client, but some clients are very emotionally impacted when you bring them audio. And so if you're bringing them stuff that's kind of iffy to you, that's going to have the same emotional impact of the voice that clearly says, get out! You want to make sure that if you're going to freak them out because they're scared that something's there, that you're bringing them something that's genuine, not something that, it could be this.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's the thing you got to think about. The reason I'm talking about clients is we work a lot with clients. A lot of our investigations, most of our investigations are for clients. And homes, private homes and stuff. And, you're dealing with a lot of emotional stuff going on for people a lot of times, a lot of things. They're so convinced that, of course, the first thing they think of is, I have a demon in my house. It's the first thing I almost always hear. I have a demon in my house. I hear knocking through the walls. My kids see things. Okay, well, probably not, but, you got to walk them through it, and you got to feel for them because they are scared, and they don't know what's going on, and they are freaked out by what some of the things you're experiencing.
Some
things aren't even paranormal. They start thinking everything's paranormal.
Most of them aren't, yeah. I believe that about 5% of the things that people say, oh, my God, this is crazy paranormal. I think about 5% of them are things that you can't explain, and everything else is really easily explained away.
Yeah, I think that's true. I would agree with that.
Do you think that television, the uprise in television shows, has anything to do with the D word and everybody feeling that they have?
Absolutely. I'd say 90% of the clients we end up working with all watch these shows.
Yeah,
it's one of the first things I ask them. I said, "Do you watch? This show or that show?" First they'll tell us no. And then we just get talking, and it's like, oh, yeah, I was watching blah, blah, blah the other night, and, you know, they had this, and that's what happened to happen in my head. It's like, oh, okay. You don't throw it in their face that, you told me, no, you don't watch these things, but you're watching them. But you go, okay. And then you go, okay, you understand that what you see on TV is not necessarily real. It's a TV show. You know, some things are real, but something, a lot of it's played up for TV. That's what a lot of people don't realize.
Every television show goes through production long before it gets to your television.
Absolutely.
And you have no control over what a production company does to your footage.
That's true. That's 100% true. They can make things look like something completely different than what really happened. I mean, I've seen it, you know.
Yeah.
Editing magic. I spent some time in Hollywood for other things, but you know, I make my rounds when I'm there. If I can get to in to see things or stuff like that, it's amazing what Hollywood can do in post-production and pre-production. Matter of fact, I was just down in Atlanta a couple weeks ago, and of course, a big fan of The Walking Dead and stuff like that. So I knew I was very close to some of the locations. I ended up driving right into one of them. Literally by accident, but I drove right into it. They hadn't started filming yet, obviously, but I drove right into what's going to be Woodbury, the town of Woodbury in the show. I told you by accident, but I drove right into their set. Well, looking for something else. But it's amazing how they can make things look. I mean, they took over part of a town, but then they built other things in the town. They can make it look totally real. You know,
they can.
That's the amazing part of it. Yeah, that's really the amazing part of it. You know,
well, and that's what people don't
realize when they're watching these shows.
Yeah, people expect the paranormal to be this big, massively frightening thing, and some of these shows do a nice job of telling a really good ghost story, a really scary ghost story. We were talking about Paranormal Witness. They do a great job of they take the person's words, certainly, but the images that they show to accompany those words and the reenactments are usually way more dramatic than what happened, I believe.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's 100% true. And they're fun to watch. Don't get me wrong. They're fun to watch. I watch some of them myself from time to time, and they're fun. But I look at them from that way. It's entertainment. You know, those type of shows are entertainment.
Thank you.
But they also give some of the real, you know, there's always some grain of truth behind some of the stories, you know. Which is interesting in itself, because you get to know some of what somebody experienced, and you got to take the rest of it that you see with a grain of salt.
My favorite is celebrity ghost stories.
Yeah, the key word here is celebrities.
Celebrity ghost stories, the only thing dead
in
your career.
Remember that. Yeah, you got to remember, they're all actors.
Like, Sammy Hagar was visited by his father in San Francisco the night that his father died in Los Angeles, I think, or maybe the other way around. His father knocked on his apartment door. He was afraid that he was going to wake his wife and baby up, opened the door, sent him away, and found out that his father was hundreds of miles away at that time. Died like in a park. So, you know, some of those are not, you know, it's not a celebrity story. These are people just like me and you that happen to have more money.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah, and a lot of the story, again, even with those stories, I mean, there's always some truth to what they're saying, you know? Of course, again, it's a TV show, so it's played up a little bit.
Right.
But it's their story, it's an experience they had, and there is truth in that story to an experience they had. And that's the interesting, to me, that's the more interesting part of it, you know?
I get to tell my story on Z-Talk a lot, but I've never been on, you know, like A&E. But it's still my story.
It's not all it's cracked up to be.
They happen to have access to a camera crew.
That's right. Yeah, everybody's story is important. I mean, what we experience and the experiences we have impact us. So
yes.
Your story, which maybe never get on TV, but it's just as important and impacting to you as somebody's who is. But
right.
What's nice about the TV stuff is it's nice to know other people are having those experiences. And I think that's one thing the shows have done over the past few years. Obviously, it's brought it out into the public more. It's more easy to talk about now. You know, there's less, I guess, voodoo in it, you know, less skepticism about it. And people can talk now, you know. Whereas before, I want to tell people think I'm crazy. And that was true. That was true.
Back into even into the early 90s, late 90s, I could tell my friends about things that happened in the house that I grew up in.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you drink too much. Well, that's beside the point. You know, but once Ghost Hunters hit the air, one of my best friends is like, oh, and now she's moved into a house that has activity all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, now do you believe me?
Yeah. Hey, I had experiences. My mother had experiences. She told me about experiences all my life, you know, things that she had. I had experiences of my own growing up. And, you know, in my house, it was a lot open, very open. You could talk about pretty much anything, you know, and nobody ridiculed you within the family. The whole family was like that. I listened to my aunts and uncles talk about experiences they had in the house that they grew up in and stuff, which my cousin still owns to this day. And so within the family, it was always talked about, and we talked about their own experiences, but we didn't talk too much outside of the family. You know what I'm saying? For the same reasons. You know, people laugh at you, or, oh, you know, you're just lying, or this or that, and, you know. But at least I grew up within a family that was open to this type of stuff. And I think that's why I'm so interested in it to this day myself, and doing these things.
Lucky you, because I grew up in a family that wasn't open to it. And as a matter of fact, I sort of very gradually came out of the closet to my family about the paranormal. And, you know, just what I would kind of mention a little bit here and there. And then when my book came out, I pretty much didn't have any choice anymore. I had to tell them.
See, my mom would never admit that she had ever seen anything until she was in the early stages of dementia. And she was living in the house by herself, which she shouldn't have been at that time, but we don't talk about that. And I said, well, you know, I checked on you last night at 10 o'clock, and you were sound asleep. And she said, yeah, but things wake me up. And that was a very lucid moment when she said that. And, you know, I went in one morning and woke her up and sat down on the edge of her bed, and she flashed her head to the right looking down the hall. And I said, what? And she said, did you see that? And I was like, well, no, what'd you see? And she said, I don't know, somebody's here. And I wonder if there's a period in time of brain function, like with autism and special needs children, that sometimes see paranormal activity that nobody else sees. But she wouldn't talk about it before that.
Yeah, I think maybe that's true. It's funny you mentioned that, I have an autistic son. And I know I've seen from time to time, he'll be almost like talking to somebody that's not there. You know, so I know there's spirits in this house, in my house I live in and I grew up in. I'm still in the house I grew up in, which is interesting. So I sometimes wonder if he is talking to somebody. I just can't see them, but maybe he can. They see the world completely different than you and I do.
Yes. I actually, my husband has Asperger's syndrome, and so does his son, my stepson. So, yeah, but what I've found with people with autism, one of two things happens with people on the spectrum. Either they tend to be really super sensitive to it, or they're like, my husband Jim calls himself the cooler, because he's like nothing ever. Perceives nothing. And so I find that really interesting that and the people I know, and I know a lot of people on the spectrum, and it's always either one extreme or the other. It's never the, well, maybe.
it's true. Yeah, it's like, yeah, well, maybe, you know, this or maybe that. But, you know, I do know from talking to, I had to bring to a neurologist at one point, and him, the neurologist, and I were just talking about autism and how the brain functions and stuff like that. And I was really interested in what this guy had to say. Very smart man. And I actually went to Texas to really work on looking into these things, what the real causes of autism is, and trying to actually correct it. Because I do know some things that are the issue.
Right.
But what he said is, he goes, think of the way their brain works. Think of your computer laptop. Okay. Think of your computer. And think of multiple programs opening up all at once constantly. He goes, that's how their brain functions. There's no stopping it. It keeps coming. The information keeps coming, and it doesn't stop.
Yes.
It doesn't get controlled like, I don't want to really say a normal brain, but an average person's brain does. So they can't, they have to disseminate and pick out different information. Point is, they get more information than you and I do. So is it possible they're seeing things and hearing things that we don't? I think it is. So it's interesting. Yeah,
well, that's my
kind of interesting. There's another connection to, you know, what we do here.
Well, and my husband will tell me, because I'm you know, he's with the Asperger's, he's very high functioning on the scale, or on the autism spectrum. And so I asked him, and he said that it's minutiae, is everything in all of the minutiae is constantly bombarding his brain. And he says that there is no detail that is too small for him. He does not understand not being interested in details. No detail is not fascinating, is what he says. So that's kind of what you're saying, is that all of that detail bombarding the brain.
Absolutely. My son Joseph is that same way. And he's high functional as well, with autism. He's very detail oriented. Things have to be, they like things a certain way. I try to break him of that habit a little bit, and we have, you know, but he's very, very, very interested in computers, anything technical, music, you know, all the more, I guess, mathematical oriented things.
Yes, you know? Absolutely.
Yeah,
you guys have just diagnosed me in the last 5 minutes.
Relate. Well, you know, I believe that there are a lot of adults who are on the autism spectrum who were never diagnosed, because it's really only become a really recognized diagnosis in probably the last 20, 25 years.
Yep, that's right.
You know, so I really believe that there are a lot of adults on the autism spectrum who just aren't diagnosed. And I don't think that autism is necessarily something that's wrong with your brain. I think it's just a different way of your brain functioning. So,
yeah, that's true. Yeah. But we're really starting to get off the other spectrum there. But yeah, it does feed into that, though. That's my point. Yep. Is I think they can see and hear things that we can't.
Yep.
And I think they know about things that are paranormal. It's like an everyday occurrence to them.
Yep.
Unlike the rest of us.
Let's do this. We need to go to a break. When we come back, I have a question from the chat room. I understand you sent Cheryl some EVPs, and we've got other stuff to talk about too. So we'll take a break for just a couple minutes. Stick around. This is Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. We will be right back.
Radio every Tuesday at 5 o'clock for Rant and Rave, a program where we discuss news articles, magazine articles, internet news, basically anything in general that tends to tick us off. 5 o'clock Tuesdays at ztalkradio.com. Remember, it's cheaper than therapy.
On the go and missing another one of your favorite Z-Talk shows? Now you don't have to. Simply go to the Google Play Store on your Android phone and download the Z-Talk Radio app. The best part is, it's absolutely free. That's Z-Talk Radio, only found in your Google Play Store and your Android phone. Download it today.
Your assignment is to listen to The Buzz on Monday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Central on ztalkradio.com. This message will self-destruct.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. I'm Karen Frazier, along with Teresa West, who's sitting in for Rick Hale tonight. And our guest is Jack Kenna, the technical specialist and assistant case manager for Spirits of New England. Jack, welcome back.
Thanks. Good to be here, as always.
It's
been a while. I guess we'll be back to that anyway. It's been a while since I've been here, but I love being on the show.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad that you came on. Sorry that Rick couldn't be here tonight, and I know he was disappointed, too. He's like, I think he's camping or something. He's doing something outdoorsy.
I'm not here.
Teresa just wanted to be on tonight so that she could mock the Dybbuk box and see if
shut up. I didn't even know you had
see if horrible things would happen to me. It's not the real one, it's the replica. It's all good. So we had a question before the break from the chat room, and the question was, what do you think about the more metaphysical side of the paranormal, which is working with psychics?
I better like it. My wife is one. So.
So your kids can't get away with anything.
Yeah, not for the most part. No, even before she's gotten more and more into it, she's still learning. But I mean, she gets more and more into it. Nobody's ever even get away with anything with her. Right? She had that ability already anyway. You know,
we get that complaint.
She knows what's going on. She always knows what's going on.
Does she always?
But actually, I actually like working with psychics. We don't do it all the time. We're starting to now with Eileen being on the team now and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's my wife. But before that, we had another friend of ours who is a seventh generation psychic. And, we would ask her to help us out from time to time when we had stuff going on with some clients that we just couldn't totally help them ourselves or figure things out for them. And Becca Boyd was her name. She was able to help them out quite a bit and give us the extra answers that we weren't able to figure out through the scientific methods. So I think, they're great to have on your side, you know. Not every team believes that, and that's okay. But, you know, if you find and you have somebody who really has the ability, because there's a lot of people claim to that don't. But when you find somebody who really does have those abilities, and it's a great thing to have to help your clients with. So do I like it? Yes.
I think we might have lost Karen.
Yeah, I think we did.
Did we lose Teresa, too?
Okay.
There you go.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now.
I lost most of that answer because I'm having audio difficulty. Jack and Teresa, okay. I'm going to let you guys chat for a minute because I suspect that somebody is streaming a movie and I'm going to have to roll ahead or
put
two.
A stop to that, Karen.
I'm going. The Avenger. I'll be back in a minute.
Okay.
We found out what happens when people stream videos while the show's going.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
It uses up your bandwidth. It just sucks it right up. So,
yeah.
You know, that'll ruin your show for you. Yeah.
Yeah. We try not to do that.
I sent it to Cheryl before, so I sent her a video of short video clip actually of. Something we caught at the Fairbanks house in Dedham, Massachusetts. Some shadow figures. It's pretty interesting.
Now, let's see if I can get that link out to the listeners. Let's see.
Yeah, it's got the EVPs and the four EVPs I sent you and the one video clip on that one.
Yeah, I've got the EVPs. I've got four files uploaded and ready to go. And cool. The video... Okay, that's where you sent the link. You said it's on mediafire.com. And can anybody go there and look at it?
Yeah, it's a shared link that I set up.
It's a shared link. Okay. Well, I'm going to read it really slowly. So everybody write this down and go look at it. www.mediafire.com. And now I'm going to read this very slowly. /? IAACPXQ. XAZQ6T. There it is.
Yeah, it's a really weird word. I don't know why they do that, but they do.
What yeah. the heck is that?
You think you see the name of the folder or something, but they don't do that. I don't know why they don't do that. You know, let me see if I can copy and paste it into the chat room here.
Yeah, we can definitely put it in the. It's a link to a video that Jack took. What does it have in it, Jack? You caught some shadow people.
We captured three shadow figures moving through the Fairbanks house. That's Fairbanks house in Dedham, Massachusetts. It's a historical site, and didn't know it at the time, but we found it in the review when I was reviewing the video, which I had shot. And all of a sudden, there's these three shadow figures moving through. And before that happened, though, me and another investigator were in there, and we got really, really cold. It wasn't that cold outside, but it got so cold in the one room I was in, I could see my breath in the dark. And it felt like something was kind of following us around and stuff. And then it was just shortly after that, we caught those shadow figures, did capture an EVP at the same time. And which EVP sounded like it was saying like good night or something like that. And three shadow figures move between Sarah, who was sitting on the floor, and the windows out in the front. We actually went back there and spent 3 hours one night trying to debunk it and couldn't. We couldn't get the same thing to happen again. So it's an interesting piece of footage.
Looks like some people in the chat room can't access it. It looks like it's being blocked for some reason.
Okay.
But
I'll try to set it up again.
Okay.
See what we can do.
Yeah, that sounds like a great piece of video.
I tested it and it worked, so...
Okay.
But yeah, I can go right back there and reset it again.
Yeah, maybe they need to take... just take the link and put it into a different window. Maybe it's not... letting it go through the chat room, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, let me get an updated shared.
Oh, okay. Chris says that chat is blocking it. So, yeah, I guess people just need to copy and paste it into another window.
If they copy and paste it out of there, they should be able to get it.
Yeah, I'm not actually even. I copied and pasted it, and it didn't work for me. I didn't work real hard at it because, you know.
I can do this. We'll keep talking, and I'll do this while we're talking about whatever.
We're
talking about metaphysical, right?
Yeah, you know what we can do? We can post it on our Facebook.
Yes. There you go. See if that works. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but let me give you an updated version of it, just to be on the safe side.
Okay.
I'm in my MediaFire account right now.
I tried to write it down and type it in, and then I couldn't read my own handwriting. So.
Oh my gosh, I hate it when that happens. You know, I said that when I investigate, I do it with a pad and a pen. And, you know, we investigate a lot of places in the dark, and I get home and try to read what I wrote in the dark. It's just never good.
Well, you all know I keep notes, but on something with all the cues and all, I just messed it up.
I've realized that my pen and paper plan for investigation is somewhat flawed when it's dark.
Okay, let's see. I just pasted it in to a different window from the email you sent me, Jack, with the link, and it works fine. I think it has to do with our chat room, actually. So.
We'll put it on our Facebook.
Yeah, we'll put it on the Facebook.
Underground Facebook, so we'll be good.
Okay, if it's working for somebody over there, then it's a good link.
So. All right. So
I just did it again. It gave me the same link anyway. So
sure. Okay.
So, Cheryl, do you have some EVPs from us?
I do.
For us, I mean.
For you. Yeah, from Jack.
So, here's what I think that we should do. Just
EVP
came now. You know how? No, because Teresa is a guest, and I'm not going to trounce her so publicly. I don't want to embarrass her.
Oh, wow.
Here's what we're going to tell Rick is that I got all of them, and so now I'm even five more ahead in the overall standings.
I like it.
I'm good with that.
See? There you go. You just delete this little part of the podcast. You'll never know.
All right. You want to play some?
So EVPs from Jack.
Okay. And these EVPs can also be found at the link that I announced while Karen was away putting a stop to the streaming video. The first one is, well, I think it's about 6 seconds long, and the caption, and I won't tell you what I think it says because I know we're gonna, you know, you guys will discuss that with Jack, but it says it's at the Dean Winthrop House. Is that correct?
Which one was it?
Dean Winthrop House?
Yeah, the Dean Winthrop House in Winthrop, Massachusetts. It's a historical location.
Okay, we've got two from that location, so I'll play the first one. And before we talk about it, I'll just play it and you guys can discuss. Here we go.
It was actually still cool when we came down the stairs.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll have to change that out. Just want to let you know.
Was it you? Yes.
It in the middle. Yeah, that was it in the middle between me talking.
Oh, yes?
Yep, yeah, now let you see if you think what it says.
I think it says, oh, yes.
You think it says, oh, yes? Okay.
It was actually still cool when we came down the stairs.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll have to change that out. Just want to let you know.
I think it says, oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
You know what my team got out of it was somebody saying, hello, Jack.
Oh.
And the interesting thing about that was just before that, which you don't hear on the audio, one of our investigators kept yelling, Dad, I was down in the basement, and she was at the top of the stairs saying, Jack, can you get this for me? Jack, get that. Jack, pick up that. Jack, don't forget that. She said my name like half a dozen times.
Wow. Let's listen to it one more time
before,
now.
It was actually still cool when we came down the stairs.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll have to change that out. Just want to let you know.
Actually, I think it's more like, oh, Jack.
Okay. Like I said, I never get them right, so I don't even try. They really wanted to tell me what they felt it said, so we went with what they came up with a consensus of.
Well, and
so,
I will
that was
tell
the first
you-
time we left to get there.
I will tell you that because we have to play them in MP3, that's a highly compressed format, and sometimes really hard to hear them as they actually sound. So I will definitely, you know, bow to the wisdom of the people who actually heard it in the WAV format or the RAW format over what we're hearing.
Well,
we keep it in the WAV format.
I want kudos because for the first time ever, I heard the same thing that Karen heard.
Hey, see, all we have to do is drink the same booze and we'll be fine, Teresa.
Except for the Bobby one. I did hear the Bobby one because that was pretty clear. Not Bobby, but Bobby.
Oh.
But yeah, on one of the ones that we've listened to that we've never heard before, that's the first time we've ever heard anything the same the first time.
Oh, see, that's because we're drinking the same stuff. There you go. Okay, we're not really drinking, I promise. Well, I don't know about Teresa. I'm not.
Diet Coke.
I'm drinking a Diet Dr. Pepper, actually.
Oh, there you go. Well,
So next, Cheryl.
Okay, here's the second one from the Dean Winthrop House.
Okay. The last time I was talking to you here, they mentioned that there were some people maybe would have called you a pirate. Does that bother you?
A little bit?
That's all that they told me is that it said. What they thought it said is, like, why no, or something like that. But no, they couldn't really make out the first word so much, but they got no for the second word. They thought there's two words.
I'm really
that's
disappointed.
That's a tougher one.
I'm disappointed it didn't say Armady.
The guy we were supposed to be trying to communicate with is was the captain who built that house in the 1600s. And he was a privateer, is what he was.
Okay.
So he was, of course, people considered those then pirates and stuff like that. So, but we got the voice in there, and, you know, again, I never can tell what the heck they say, but the team said they thought it said, why no? Like, why no? It doesn't bother me that people think I'm a pirate.
All right, let's listen to it again and see if we can get the why now.
Okay, I just got confirmation from the chat room that if you listen to the audio files from the link that we gave, they're a lot clearer than through me playing them through the computer as an MP3.
Yeah.
But we have that on tap for the show, so we're going to make you suffer through it anyway, people. There you
go. Yes, so, okay, let's play that one more time, and here we go.
The last time I was talking to you here, it mentioned that there were some people maybe would have called you a pirate. Does that bother you?
Yep, okay, I hear that now.
Yep, they told you. That's not usually the way it goes, right?
You know?
In the hours. You told you something and you hear it, you know?
See, the power of suggestion is too strong with
The force is strong with this one, is what you're saying, Teresa.
No, when somebody says, it says, why no, I'm going to listen for it to say, why no, and I can probably make it say, nah, but on the last one, Arg would have done it for me.
Arg would have been awesome. Seriously, anything in pirate speak would have been so darn funny.
Arg!
Or, you know, get away from my parrot or something.
Hey, we had some really good ones that you could hear really well on the Constitution, but I can't repeat those.
Oh, yeah, uh-oh. We're not allowed to say those on the radio.
Yeah, we're going to get some good sailor talk, though.
Okay, so what do we have next, Cheryl? We have two
more EVPs for the listeners, and they are both from the Fairbanks house.
Tell us about the Fairbanks house before we listen to the EVPs, Jeff.
Really interesting place. It's the oldest, how do they want to say it? One of the oldest wooden homes in the United States, built by the Fairbanks family. It was a farming family in 1632, I believe.
Wow.
You may not have that totally right, but extremely old home.
Hello.
Hi, guys. Is it time for the show?
All right. I'm going to actually have to curse Time Warner Cable because this happened to us last week during the show, too.
Your internet blinks. Yeah.
Yep. Our internet is just crazy.
I hit the wrong button on my phone.
What I usually do.
There's a call button on there, so, you know.
I usually hang up when I'm muting. So are we still on the air, Cheryl?
We are.
Okay, you were telling us about the Fairbanks house. And
the Fairbanks house is really old home, has one electrical outlet, which we did use for our cameras, and really, really neat place. We did it in, in November, something like that, or October. I can't remember which dates were. But it wasn't that cold. It was like 40 degrees outside that night. Not chilly, but what was nice about the place, it's a lot bigger than it looks from the outside. A lot of places to investigate. We hit every place in that building. And didn't really think we were having much activity until after we reviewed everything. Caught some good EVPs.
Yeah.
We had a couple of our investigators did have some experiences. And one was a disembodied voice we did catch. She actually heard it in her ear. The other two people in the room with her never heard it. It startled her enough, she actually dropped her flashlight and stuff. So, you know.
Isn't it funny how that happens?
Yeah, I mean, it was right in her ear. And even on the recording, it doesn't really sound that loud, but to her it was really loud. So.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of typical, you know.
So,
but only she heard it. But at least we did catch it.
Yeah,
they heard footsteps in another room. At one point, too, during the night. We had one room we kind of felt that heaviness in. That's when we were setting up our equipment. And that was where we caught some of the EVPs, too, in that same room, upstairs bedroom.
Nice, but she heard the voice. The other two people didn't, but you caught it on a recording.
And we did catch it on a recording that was near her. Yep.
That's always really cool.
How weird is that? Yeah.
No, that's really cool when it happens, when you get that confirmation, when you say, did you hear that? And everybody else says no and looks at you like you're crazy, and then you get it on audio, it's the best.
that really is good stuff. Yeah, I love when that happens. And it doesn't happen too often, but it does happen. You know? That's great validation.
People look at me like I'm crazy a lot. That happens a lot. But the actual confirmation, yeah.
Yeah, me too. I tell people things that happen, they're like, yeah, right, sure, okay. And I'm like, damn, I ain't got nothing to back it up either.
Okay, so go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay, I was just going to say, you know, you hate it when you don't have anything to back it up, and you know you had your experience, and it's a personal experience.
Yep.
Well, these guys all know I'm all about validation, so.
Yeah, but I think that personal experiences are validation. If it's, you know, like I was sitting in a room with five other people when something came flying through the air at us. And there's validation because every single one of us saw us unless we were involved in a mass hallucination.
Yeah.
You know, so personal experiences can be validated.
They can be good validation. Again, I'm talking about clients, but they're great validation sometimes when you're working with a client. And you tell them that experience you had and you find out it's the same experience they had. Or for them, at least, it's validation. You know, they feel like they're not crazy because now you experienced what they did. And there was an investigation we did in Springfield, Mass. That was like that for the guy we did it for. And we did, and some of it we did capture on audio and video. And we're able to say, hey, you're really seeing these things. Here it is. You know, you're hearing these things. Here they are.
Yeah.
And for clients, that's great. Yeah, you know, it's helped them out.
Put the word external validation in front of that. External validation.
Yes.
I'm all about external validation.
You know, I absolutely understand what you're saying, and I think if you've known me for any length of time, which you have, Teresa, you know that I spend a lot of my time searching for validation. But what I've learned is at some point I just have to trust myself.
Right.
And I've had enough experiences validated that sometimes I can, but a lot of times I still don't. So there you go. Hey,
all this
Cheryl,
stuff
go ahead.
Had to happen at Waverly Hills. We have no external validation for it, but Wade and I were there for all of it.
Yeah.
I have, you know, we traveled as a pair and kind of left everybody else to their own designs. And we had some real neat stuff happen. And that's good for me. I like that. But
yeah, another person is externally validating. So Cheryl, I want to hear these EVPs.
All right, here's the first one. Let's play it.
So funny, your sister's still here. Whose bedroom was it?
Is she 1843, maybe?
Did
you guys hear that? It sounded really garbled. So.
You have to turn it up really loud because I had to turn up my headphones all the way to hear it.
Can we play it one more time?
Definitely. It's towards the end, I believe, right, Jack?
It's almost like a female.
It's about in the middle.
Is it in the middle?
Well, it's closer to the end, yes. I guess it's closer to the end.
Yeah, it's a whisper.
Yeah, so you hear the other girls talking, actually. It's actually fairly loud.
I'm sorry, what was that?
It's actually
it's
right
loud.
You hear it right after the one girl is talking about 18-something, and then you hear this other voice.
Okay. Here we go.
So funny, your sister's still here. Whose bedroom was it?
Is she 1843, maybe?
That's amazing.
Michelle.
It could be, I mean, it could sound like that. I'd say this is a class B, really. But what the team said they were saying was the chill. The question I asked was, you know, because there were three sisters who lived in the house, who were some of the last ones to live in the house in the 1800s, and it was three sisters. So what I was asking was, if any of your sisters are still here, whose bedroom was this? And then you hear the other girl talking, and then you hear this, and what they got out of it was the chill, which what they think it was really trying to say was the children. Because at one time it was the children's room.
Okay.
Children's bedroom. So that's, you know, maybe where they got that from. But we slowed it down. We did slow it down originally. That's the unslowed down version. But you hear more two words when you slow it down than if you leave it the regular speed.
Cool. Let's listen one more time before we move on to the next one.
So one of your sisters is still here. Whose bedroom was it?
See, now I actually hear a little something. before the whisper as well, and I don't know if it's the female speaking or if it's part EVP, but there's a little, it actually almost sounds like there's a syllable before the.
So yeah, I think what you heard just before that was Ellen kind of, because it was me, the girl, and Ellen up there, and I think Ellen, our team leader, was just kind of doing like a hmm or a ah in response to the girl talking.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's listen to the other one, Cheryl. Can you do that again,
what's
please?
What you heard, first part is me sneezing because I had a sneeze fit up in that room.
I was going to say, because that's what it sounded like with somebody sneezing, but I thought maybe...
Yeah, you had to listen to what said after I sneezed.
Okay, because it sounded like my headphones went wonky. Okay, again.
Okay.
Bless you.
Yep.
Bless you.
Yeah, that one, right? I thought it was pretty obvious that even I picked that one up.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good one. Let's hear it one more time.
Yeah, definitely happened. Yeah, and it was odd. You know, I weren't expecting that, that's for sure. But I did. I didn't even know what was causing it. I was up there, and for the first 30 minutes up in that room, I couldn't stop sneezing. It was driving me nuts.
Do you sneeze a lot?
No. And, you know, it is an old house. There's a lot of dust, stuff like that, so it could have been that. But for that long a period of time, it seemed kind of odd, because I hadn't sneezed the whole rest of the night. Before that or after that.
So something in that room. Okay, let's listen to it one more time. And that sounds like a male voice that says bless you. Yeah.
Yep.
Interesting. Yeah, so was that the last one, Cheryl, or do we have one more?
That's it.
Oh, I thought you said we had five.
I made a mistake, sorry.
Well, you had one video. So that's
look at the video.
One more follow up the video.
So somebody in the chat room actually asked if you had explained the video, but did you already do that?
We did that. I can't remember. But what the video was, and I can explain it real quick. Me and another investigator were in the downstairs east wing bedroom, or east wing parlor of the house. It was towards the end of the night. It was around 1:30 in the morning. It was really cold in that room, so cold you could see my breath in it. And it didn't last very long, a few seconds. Kind of felt like we were being watched or followed around, and didn't see anything at the time, but when we reviewed the video and the audio, we caught one EVP around the time we're talking about how cold it was, and then these three shadows walk, looks like behind Sarah, but between Sarah and the wall and windows that are there, and you can actually see them go onto the wall. So we know they're inside building, and we actually went back a week later, spent 3 hours there at night trying to recreate it, and couldn't. Because that's kind of an important investigation for us, for the Fairbanks family. It's a very large organization, still a big family, and we actually just did a lecture for them for their family reunion back in August.
Ah.
And we showed them all that. So it was kind of neat for them. A lot of them come from all around the country to go to the reunion. So,
well, I have to tell you, I envy you the part of the country that you live in, because you live in the old part of the country and I live in the new part, because I'm over here in Washington State. We're in the wild, wild west. And, you know, so you talk about these places that trace back to 1600 and something. Yeah. You know, clearly the land was here before that in Washington, I think. You know, but most of the buildings and things are, you know, not that old.
Yeah. But you got a lot of neat stuff out there, too. I mean, I've been to a couple of the places with the San Diego Ghost Hunters. William Heath Davis House, which they're doing investigations there now. They do, you know, little investigations there. You know, people can go in and they take them on a, I don't want to say a tour, but an actual investigation of the house. I did go there with my friends, just me and them, and we investigated there one night. Really neat place, had some really interesting things happen there. So, I mean, you've got a lot of interesting locations there. The Whaley House. I mean, I did mostly in San Diego. But I know you've got the Queen Mary, you've got so many other places out there. The Birdcage Theater.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, you could talk about all kinds of places. As a matter of fact, they want to take me there one time when I can finally get out there again. So you guys got a lot of neat places out there, too, that us on the East Coast go, God, I wish we could get there. Yeah.
Well, you come on out. We'll take you around. Yeah, I'm going to be participating in an event here at the end of October that's going to be in the Evergreen Air and Space Museum down in McMinnville, Oregon, and aboard the Spruce Goose, and there's fighters that have, you know, fighter planes there, and so that could be interesting.
Karen, you don't really think that it's like just structures that spirits hang out in. You know,
I believe that 100%. No, I don't think that.
You know, there were residents in your area long before any of the buildings were built.
Absolutely. And we get a lot of Native American stuff out here.
Yeah.
A lot of Native American type of hauntings. And I understand that. And I'm kind of a history buff, which I think anybody who's in the paranormal sort of is.
Pretty much.
And the history on the East Coast is longer. I mean, the documented history. And so I find that fascinating.
When
they came from Europe, this is where they landed first. So, you know.
Right.
You got that advantage.
You got Sasquatch up there, Karen.
I have Sasquatch sitting on my living room couch watching football as we speak.
We got a lot of those here on the East Coast, too. So,
See, I thought Sasquatch was asleep in here in Tennessee. Okay.
Oh, yeah. You have Sasquatch sawing logs in your bedroom, and I've got him sitting on my couch watching football and drinking beer.
Okay. Well, that answers the question, are there more than one?
That's right. So, Jack, we just have a couple minutes left. Do you have a website where people can go? Okay.
Yep. Yes, we do. It's spiritsofnewengland.org. Spell it the way it sounds, spiritsofnewengland.org. That's our website for Spirits of New England. And, have a lot of stuff on there talking about, Ouija boards and what not to do and stay away from them, and a lot of different links and stuff there, too. But you can go on there and ask us questions. We have a place where you can go, and if you just have a question you want to ask us, you can type it in, click send, and it'll go on its way to us. So
cool.
We always answer them. I check usually every day for email from there, and that's usually our clients get in touch with us is through there. We also have a Facebook page. You can just look up Spirits of New England again, and you'll find us on Facebook. I'll give my friends out in San Diego a hit, too. It's sandiegoghosthunters.com, and they've got a really nice website out there, too, with all the different stuff they're doing for the people out on the West Coast, and investigations they've done and events they've got going on and what they're doing right now. So a lot of good stuff going on out there, and as we always say, if somebody needs our help or wants to ask a question, we're here to help, and we're here to try to answer your questions. So.
Except that you really are here to help, so you don't go to the door and say, we're here to help, and then not help. You probably actually do help.
Exactly. Yeah, we try to. We do the best we can. Let's put it that way. We try to go above and beyond. And I've always been that way, and all of us, I guess, on our team have been that way all our lives. We try to go that extra mile no matter what we're doing.
Sure.
Whether it's our jobs or whether it's to help people.
So now also, this is October, and this is, I always tell people, because my mother always decides in October it's time to see me, and I say, Mom, I can't. It's my busy season.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that's busy season. What do you have coming up? Anything?
Well, actually, this Saturday we have a lecture at Fisher College in Boston. And then later that evening we're going to be investigating one of the buildings for them.
Oh, it's your busy season.
Yes, it's our busy season. There's a lot of other investigations going on as well for some clients and things like that as well. So It is the busy season. I get more emails this time of year than any other.
I'm right there with you. I totally get it. I tell my family, I think I have something. This is the only weekend this weekend that I don't have something, and that's because I turned it down. So I have something every weekend. Instead, this weekend, I'm just going to sit here, me in the Dybbuk box, and we're going to have shares.
Just don't open it. Don't open that Dybbuk box.
I opened it.
No,
keep your wine in there?
Yeah. No, he it's because it's the replica he made, and it actually has replicas of all of the different pieces that are in the actual Dybbuk box.
Oh, that's interesting. That's kind of neat.
It's pretty fabulous.
Without the negative side to it, right? Doesn't come with the negative side of it, right?
Well, he told me that sometimes there's something called sympathetic magic, but it's been in my house for 24 hours now, and I'm still standing.
Yeah,
and now that you said that...
Yeah, watch something happen.
No, because I'm not mocking the box. And, of course, our house, we have some things that go on here anyway. And so I don't know that I would be able to differentiate it from
what is usually going on. Yeah.
That's right. Okay, well, Jack, so I hope that you will come back again. And I hope that you survive October, your busy season.
Yeah, we'll get through it. And I hope you guys, too. And I'm glad to come back anytime. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so that's Jack Canna from the East Coast. He's from that's the right coast, because I'm from the left coast, right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
All right, Jack, thank you. Have a great evening. Right. And
you guys,
give a shout-out to your team from us.
Thanks, Jack.
All righty, we'll do that. Hey, thanks,
bye,
guys.
Jack.
Have a good night now, okay?
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Oh, we're having some real audio difficulties tonight, but it's not the fake box.
How do you know?
How do I know it's not the fake box?
Because it's her husband.
Yeah, because it's Jim. No, he swears he is not streaming. He's watching football live.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad that this time you guys have the echo, because mine's all good.
Well, you know, our house is pretty good size, and Jim has it set up in like this uber complicated series of relays for the wireless.
Of course.
Because he's a science geek, and so seriously, it's like we have like three or four different internet relay things that relay to one another. I sometimes just don't think that they always work, because of course the house was kind of overbuilt as well. The guy that built the house, the walls are super thick. You know, and I have to sit in a closed room because we have four dogs, and they're all sitting outside the door listening to my voice right now, waiting for me to come out.
Of course they are. Actually, one of them is probably afraid you're going to give it another bath.
Oh, poor Mickey. Didn't he look sad? I posted a picture. We have this Brussels. We have two Brussels Griffons, and one of them, Mickey, we've had. It's his second anniversary with us coming up on the 25th of October, so real soon. And he is the most sensitive dog on the planet. I kid you not. This dog is so sensitive. He takes absolutely everything personally. So when Jim gives him a bath, he won't have anything to do with Jim for hours and hours and hours, because, you know, if he gets, Brussels Griffons have like the little beards, you know? Yeah. And so he gets crap caught in his beard all the time. And so if I go to pull something out of his beard, he looks at me like I am trying to rip his face hair off. And I'm really gentle. He's just a super, super, super sensitive dog. And I thought that picture, which is my laptop background now, by the way, I thought that totally captured Mickey and how sensitive he is, because he just looks, in this picture I put on Facebook, he just looks wounded.
He just looks like a little wet dog. But he looks like a really mad little wet dog.
He's not mad. No, he's wounded. His heart is broken. He can't believe that we would do that to him.
Why?
Yeah, well, he does it every time Tanner comes home. He can't believe that we would do that to him. Every time Tanner comes down the stairs, he can't believe we would do that to him. Every time Tanner walks across his bedroom floor upstairs, he is the most sensitive. If anybody would like him, give me a call. He's really cute. But
yeah, I have a cat that sits in the middle of the hallway. So when I try to go to the bedroom or to the bathroom, she has this complex that I'm chasing her. And she will hunker down and look at me with fear in her eyes and then run. And then she stops and she turns around and she looks at me with fear in her eyes and then she turns around and she runs. And it's only like 6 feet.
Yeah.
So she'll stop like three times, like, well, why are you chasing me? It's like, I'm not. I'm going to the bathroom.
She and Mickey would be awesome together.
Yeah. She comes out of the bedroom while I'm in the bathroom and sits in the hall. And when I try to come back to the living room or the kitchen, she's like, she's chasing me again. Yeah, they could sit and commiserate about how
their life is. Maybe we should get them on Skype.
How put upon they are.
I swear somebody someday is going to open their front door and there's going to be a box with holes poked in the top and they're going to open it up and it's going to be Mickey looking at him reproachfully.
I won't talk about it now because it's too sad, but my friend found a box of kittens underneath her mailbox.
Oh, were they dead?
Four kittens, four frozen bottles of water in a box. One of them was frozen, one of them was dead, another one died that night. She still has the fourth one.
Who would do that?
Whoever did it put it in a box that had a mailing label on it.
Oh.
She kept the cat and decided that her karma would be better if she just left it at keeping the cat and keeping it healthy.
Oh, that's terrible.
So don't do...
I would never actually. We actually had somebody at one point who said that they would be willing to take Mickey, and then he looked at me reproachfully, and I felt terrible. Because I think he would be traumatized if he went to live with someone else, too. He's a weirdest little dog. He is, I know this is a paranormal show, so sorry, but that dog is weird.
Karen and I are all about cooking and animals, okay?
Cooking and animals, that's right. So, you know what? I'm going to make, we're having a gathering for my paranormal team soon, and I am going to, make for my team a recipe I just found. Are you ready for this?
Yes, I am.
They are chocolate chip cookies made with brown butter, sprinkled with sea salt, and stuffed with Nutella.
Do it! Do it now.
How can I not? I think you'd probably be able to eat about a bite of one before you died. But, it's the challenge. Doesn't that sound delicious?
Yeah. The same friend that I was talking about earlier had two exchange students. Well, actually, she had one from France and one from Germany. So she had like World War II living in her house. Sorry. But the French girl cooked crepes with Nutella for breakfast every morning, and she had to go back on her diet when she went back to France.
Nutella is like frosting.
Yeah.
It is. It's like frosting. I made this cake one time, and you make it out of almond flour and
hazelnut is the greatest.
Yeah, but it's this almond cake that you then frost with Nutella. Oh my god. Yeah, it was really good. We called it sponge almond square cake because it was an almond sponge cake that was square. Anyway, the kids were little back then.
You guys and your crazy names.
Dookie Mouser MD the cat and sponge almond that square
one.
Cake.
Yeah, that one and your dog Ass Hat.
Ass Hat, well, Spike, yes, we call him Ass Hat because he is.
I love it. You were talking about traumatizing your animals. I had to give two of my cats away.
Oh.
Because I couldn't have, I'm only allowed to have two animals, and I had four. The boys like to go outside. So, I gave them to my niece's ex-boyfriend. And because the girls, Blackie and Smoochie, would just be too traumatized to go anywhere else.
Yeah.
They're not that kind. Of course, then when I took Spot over there, he lived in the basement for a week. So, Orca lived in the closet with Tyler's shoes until I got there. But I think they're coming out of the closet now and doing Yeah, they're brothers. We're a close family.
Oh, yeah, we have four dogs and a cat. Well, gosh, Jack was saying, I think he said on the break, they have kids, dogs, cats, and they have a sugar glider.
Sugar glider. Those things creep me out.
Aren't they like squirrels that fly?
Pretty much, yeah, with little furry tails.
Oh, they're cute.
They look kind of like chinchillas with tails, yeah.
I don't think I'd really want a rodent for a pet.
No, thanks.
Yeah, I know, right? So, Cheryl.
Hi.
Hi.
Now that we've monopolized with our animals and food.
I have no pets. I can't join in. Sorry.
You have Chad.
Yeah, he's kind of like a big pet, yeah.
He's like Bigfoot sitting on the couch, too, isn't he?
He's a great
guy playing video games.
He is. Yeah. All right, you got me.
My Bigfoot lives upstairs in my house. It's my teenage son because he has size 14 feet.
Holy cow.
I meant to put an exclamation point after that. Chad's a great ape.
That's funny.
My gosh. Okay, so next week on the show, Rick will be back.
Yeah. Let me tell you about what we got in store here coming up. Next week is October 11th. And Rick actually invited our next guest, who is named Beth Fontaine. She is the owner and operator of Para Adventures, which is a tourist business taking people on some fun ghost hunts.
Ooh,
so she's up next week.
Very cool.
October 18th, we're going to have our good friend Teresa West back with us because Rick is going to be celebrating his anniversary.
And speaking of Bigfoot.
Speaking of Bigfoot, we're going to have Jody Cook on, and he is going to be talking about all sorts of fun stuff, and I think, is his latest book about zombies? Why do I think that? Anybody know?
I don't know, but I certainly hope so, because that would scare the crap out of you.
Maybe I just made that up, I don't know.
But we'll
talk about
you're
Bigfoot.
You're probably sitting there thinking, oh, Jody Cook's coming on. He likes Bigfoot. Oh, I hope he didn't write a book about zombies.
I think somebody told me that.
Actually,
I haven't read it.
Actually, but I believe that you're right.
Oh.
The last time that I heard him on the Paravision show, he was talking about zombies.
Okay. Yeah, this is going to be fun. Rounding out October, we have Steve, and oh my gosh, I'm sorry, I have to apologize, I forget his last name right now. I'll have to find him and get it for next week, but he's from Memphis Mid-South Ghost Hunters, and he's going to be on October 25th. Woohoo!
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
also,
all sorts of big happenings coming up in October, right?
Yeah, yeah, all sorts of good stuff in October. Also, I wanted to remind our listeners to, on Thursday night, you want to come before Paranormal Underground, you want to listen to the show before us, which is Looking Into the Unknown with the Paravisions crew.
Yes,
and then you're going to want to stay after our show and listen to Fox City's Paranormal Radio.
Yes.
It's like a huge lineup on Thursday night. People, don't miss it.
Yeah, I wanted to mention something really quickly because I know that we have a lot of sci-fi nerds who listen to our show, and I'm not using that in a derogatory sense at all because I'm married to one.
Oh, no.
And I saw something that will make sci-fi nerds and smart people the world round thrilled, and that's that Rush has finally been nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
You know what's even better?
Wow.
Deep Purple finally got nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
How are those two bands not already in there?
That is weird.
I don't know, but Joan Jett and Rush or Heart are up for their second nominations.
I was just really happy to see Rush. You know, Geddy Lee's voice makes me want to kill myself, but they're musically, they're an amazing band.
Look at the chat room combo.
What is it?
Rob met Rush.
Well, of course he has. He, you know who Rob also has met?
No.
And didn't call me.
Oh, you're kidding me.
I know.
Eddie Vedder?
What kind of friend is he?
Oh,
how,
Eddie?
How did, what?
Eddie.
Eddie Vedder.
Bad Rob.
Very bad Rob.
See, Eddie, many times.
Many times, not just once.
Oh, Eddie, you've never called me Rob. Call me.
Yeah.
You want those cookies, Rob? You want those Nutella brown butter stuffed sea salt chocolate chip cookies? Call me.
Oh.
Anyway, so I just thought that that was worthy of mentioning because Rush has a lot of fans. They're very intelligent musicians. They're very just incredible musicians, and I was thrilled to see that.
Yep, that's great. Thanks for sharing that news. I didn't know.
Yeah, I just saw it today. I was really thrilled to see that. And yeah, Deep Purple too. I saw that as well.
Nice.
I gotta go with Deep Purple because my husband's here.
Well, whatever, I'm good. Okay,
whatever.
So anyway, we have come to the end of our show. Oh, Teresa.
No. Yes.
Already?
Thank you so much for sitting in.
Thank you so much for allowing me to sit in. I enjoy it so much.
Yeah, it'll be 2 more weeks. We'll see you again.
Yay.
Or talk to you again. The Dybbuk box will still be here.
Okay. So we'll get an update. Cool.
I just don't think that I'm just not too terribly worried about it.
Yeah, good. I'll send you a new picture to put in front of it.
Oh, okay, you do that. Did you say a new picture or a nude picture?
N-E-W.
All right, that's much better than what I thought you said. So anyway, Rick will be back next week. I think if the Dybbuk box doesn't kill me, I will be back next week.
I'll be listening.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll be back next week if the Dybbuk box doesn't kill me through Karen.
Well, that's probably the more likely of the two scenarios.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, so thank you, Teresa. Thanks to our guest, Jack Kenna.
Thanks,
and,
Jack.
Stick around for their live tonight, Fox City's Paranormal, right?
Correct.
So stick around, and next week we'll see you back here, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and other times in the flyover states. It's Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the Z-Talk Radio Network.